Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Chappell, and I wanted to personally thank you for tuning in to today's edition of Daily in the Word. The purpose of this broadcast is to encourage God's people every day from His precious Word. The message you're about to hear is based on the Bible and will encourage, challenge, and strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. I'm thrilled that you are tuning in to listen, and it's my prayer that you will be encouraged by God's incredible Word. Thanks again for your prayers and for your support. May God richly bless you today.
The promises of the Bible and the person of Jesus Christ are more relevant and powerful than ever before. In our series entitled, Hope is Alive, your heart will be encouraged and your perspective renewed as you learn about the hope Jesus came to offer. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. At times, we all face situations that appear to be hopeless. But when viewed through the lens of God's Word and your relationship with Christ, there is always hope. In today's message, you will be equipped and challenged in your walk with God by studying the truths of God's Word. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Family Hope.
2 Timothy 2:1, Paul says, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul says, Timothy, I taught you some things from the Bible. I want you to commit those to other men also. I want you to pass this thing called your faith to the next generation. Now, the scriptures that Paul taught Timothy contained great theological truth. And so when Paul says the things that I committed to you, he is speaking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is speaking about the truth of eternal life in a place called heaven or a place called hell. He's speaking about the ministry of grace through the work of the Holy Spirit. He's speaking about many great doctrines. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10, Paul said, But thou hast fully known my doctrine. You see, the Christian belief system or our faith is comprised of doctrines from the Bible. And Timothy had been grounded in those doctrines, and they set a direction for his life. And so the scriptures contain theological truth. But let me tell you something about those scriptures. The scriptures are despised by the world in which we live. Now get this picture in your mind. Timothy and his mother are living in their little home, and they're reading the scriptures, and they're praying to God through Jesus Christ. But their neighbors would not have appreciated that faith in every case. And in the Roman Empire, there were many who hated Christianity. They hated the name of Jesus Christ. And in fact, just days after this book would be written and completed, the book of 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul would die a martyr's death in the city of Rome for his faith and message concerning Jesus Christ. There are many enemies of this message. 2 Peter 3:16 says many unlearned and unstable men wrest the scriptures. That is, they take them out of context and they do not receive the scriptures, the word of God. What I'm saying to you is Paul said, Timothy, I've passed to you a faith. It had ideology and doctrine at its formational basis in your life. And I want you to know that even as it's being passed down, there are many who hate what the Bible says. But Timothy was a man raised up for a purpose. And there was hope in that purpose because Timothy had a foundation on the Word of God. And he knew what the Bible said. And he stood by his convictions. And we need 16 and 17 and 18-year-olds today who have some Bible-based conviction, who will stand on what the Bible says, not what the culture says, you see. Timothy's hope came from a Bible preaching local church started by a missionary. Notice, secondly, there's hope from a loving family. Timothy had hope from his local church, but Timothy had hope from a loving family. And I want you to think about his family. We meet them in verse 5. Paul says, When I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. Now think about Lois and Eunice, if you would, for just a moment. Eunice was a godly mother raising her son for the Lord. And Eunice was helped by her mother, Lois, in this great, great undertaking of child raising. I'm told there are 10.4 million single mothers in America today. There were just over 3 million in 1970. Many moms today are raising their children without a husband at home, and many whom I respect greatly in this church raising their children without a saved husband, as was the case of this woman, Eunice. And they are doing their best to raise Timothy for the Lord. And I want you to get a glimpse into their home, and I want you to see the three aspects of this home that all of us need in our own family life. Notice, first of all, there was a pure faith. Lois and Eunice were real Christians. They were unibody Christians. They had integrity. They were the real deal. Notice it says, when I call to remembrance, verse 5, the unfeigned faith. The word unfeigned means undisguised. It means sincere. 1 Timothy 1:5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Now, parents, please get this. This is vital. It is vitally important not merely to come to church, but that we in our lives are living for the Lord and that we are sincere about our faith, not just having a suit on Sunday, but on Monday talking of the Lord and appreciating what good things God has done. And you show me a Christian family that goes to church on Sunday and hits the club on Friday, or a church family that comes to church on Sunday and then through the week they're critical maybe of other people at church or the preacher or whatever else, and they are sowing the seeds of destruction for their own children. And 23 years later, I've seen it. Christians who were here for a while but were not truly dedicated to Jesus. They were not unfeigned or pure. Over time, you see the results of that in their children, because listen to me, 8 and 10 and 15-year-olds can pick out hypocrisy as fast as anybody. And the reason Timothy was a tremendous man of God is because his mother and grandmother were sincere, real Christians. I heard about a father who came home from work, and just before dinner, he saw his 5-year-old son standing out on the driveway, and he walked up to his son. His son was mad. He had his arms crossed. He was frowning. He said, "What's wrong, son? Have you had a tough day today?" His son said, "Yes, I have." He said, "I've been having trouble all day long with your wife." Now, moms, every one of you have the right to a bad day or two, all right? But I just want to stop and thank God that there are hundreds of real Christian mothers who attend Lancaster Baptist Church. People who love the Lord. People who forgive. Mothers who care and pray. And who keep on loving when it's perhaps not always easy to love. Thank God for your pure faith. And there will be a harvest come from that faith. The harvest will be a blessing in your life. But not only did Timothy grow up in a family with a pure faith, but notice secondly, there was a persistent example in his life. He had a mother and a grandmother who persistently showed him the way to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 16:1 says, but his father was a Greek, meaning his father had not converted to Christ. He followed the ways of the Greek mysticism. I like what Abraham Lincoln once said, no man is poorer who has a godly mother. And I thank God for the influence today of godly mothers who persistently, lovingly raise their children for the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that Timothy was in a home where there was a persistent nurturing environment. The Bible says to a father, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And fathers can learn from mothers about nurturing and caring and memory making and lesson giving. And certainly Lois and Eunice had provided that type of an environment for their son. And I thank God this morning for moms who decide and determine to stay at home when their children are young and formidable and read stories and sing songs and teach them the ways of God in those early formative days of their life. And this was the kind of home where Timothy was raised. Proverbs 4 and verse 4 says, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Now, I must admit this morning, as would most honest dads, that mothers are a little better at this persistent nurturing than dads are. Moms, they get it and they do a great job of it. Now, I did hear about a dad one day who was so blessed in his family with a newborn, and he went into the nursery and he was standing there over the crib and just looking lovingly down into that crib, and emotions were welling up within him. He was just in awe and delight and amazement and enchantment. His wife walked around the corner. She saw him looking down there, and she was touched by his unusual sense of nurture and care. And she looked to her husband and she said, a penny for your thoughts. And he said, it's amazing. He said, as he looked down, I just can't see how anybody could build a crib like that for $46.50. Now that's about the depth of the average guy's nurturing ability, you know. Sometimes we just don't get it. But Lois and Eunice got it. And they gave it to Timothy. And persistently they nurtured him. And by the way, they were persistent in their times of adversity. Let's be honest about it. It's not easy for a woman to come to church alone when her husband stays at home and thinks she's a kook. And I have a lot of men and great men and women of God whom I respect, evangelists and preachers and deacons who are faithful and soul winners and godly. But I don't know of another group that I really respect more when I just step back and take a look at it than the dozens of single moms or ladies in this church whose husbands could not care at all for the faith and sometimes swear at them as they walk out the door to come to Lancaster Baptist Church. And yet these ladies come in through these doors with a smile on their face, with their children in tow, a tithe check in their hand, singing in the choir, praising God. I'm going to tell you something. That is a testimony to the grace of God in their life. And there's an interesting saying I heard years ago. Every adversity carries with it the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. With every adversity, God wants to do something special in someone's life. And I cannot explain this exactly, but some of the greatest preachers I have ever heard preach in my life were raised in a family without a father because of a mother who through her adversity did not get bitter, but who got better. And who just kept on going like Lois and Eunice did. I'm going to tell you something. You can make the greatest sale that your company's history has ever seen. You can invent the newest product that wows all the consumers. But nothing like that will compare to having a son or a daughter live for Jesus Christ. And that persistent example in Lois and Eunice's life, it really paid off. Because Timothy was used of God. And every parent here desires their children to be used of God. And if your children are away from the Lord today, don't be discouraged. Keep praying and keep trusting the Lord on their behalf. But notice thirdly, not only a pure faith and a persistent example, but notice thirdly, if you would, a patterned instruction. Eunice and Lois taught their son Timothy. They admonished him, 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. They taught him from a child what the Word of God said. Charles Wesley said, I learned more about God from my mother than all the theologians in England. Not only did they admonish him, but they warned him. And they said, be careful about this, Timothy, and be careful about that crowd, and be careful about those who deny the name of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 1 and verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners consent thee, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not, you see. And time and again, children are told to hear the warning of a godly mother. I thank God for my mother today. And my parents, every year, they like to take us back to the farm in Colorado. Our family heritage comes from a pinto bean farm in Colorado, and we go back there and spend a few weeks every summer. And my dad grew up on the farm. He thought that was the best thing, get back there and chop some firewood and catch some fish and do some work on the tractor. But my mom, she was a city girl from Chicago, and going to the farm scared her to death, especially when we went out by the canyon rims out back. And she always would say the same thing, now be careful back there. And we get out on these rocks there in southwestern Colorado, and she'd always say the same thing, don't get too close to the edge. And she would warn us. By the way, what is it in a child's heart, in a teenager's heart, that wants to know how close they can get to that edge? All right, what's the worst kind of TV I can watch without going over the edge? How close can I get? You know what a godly parent says? Stay as far away from that edge as you can. And they warn their children about the evils of the television and the internet. And they warn their children about the evils that are coming forth from the state senate that's in authority over them. And they warn them about the trends of their day. Why? Because a loving parent cares enough to be involved and to issue a word of warning. And you see, a loving family will provide hope that we'll have more and more Timothys raised up to the glory of God. Why is it that Timothy rose from the obscure little village of Lystra to a place of great leadership for God. First, there was hope in the local church found for him. Second, there was hope in a loving family found for him. But I want you to see finally this morning, there was hope in the Lord of salvation, in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when it's all said and done, one day our children may not be living in this city, and they may not be under the umbrella of our immediate influence. And when it's all said and done, there is no greater decision ever made by anyone than the decision to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. And I draw your attention this morning to a few verses that really summarize the doctrine of soteriology or salvation. And I want you to see these verses, verses 8 and 9, please. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now I want you to notice, if you would, please, three truths very, very quickly, but very importantly, about Timothy's salvation. Timothy was a saved man. I like that word saved, don't you? Let's say it together. Saved. One more time. Saved. Are you saved? Timothy was a saved man. He had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, three attributes of this relationship. First, notice the permanence of it. The permanence of it. The Bible says in verse 9, who hath saved us. Salvation is not a process that you hope to obtain it someday. J. Vernon McGee used to say it this way. He said, there are two groups of people in the world. There are the saints and the ain'ts. Now, no letters from the English teachers, all right? I didn't say that. J. Vernon McGee said it. I just quoted it. You either are saved, my friend, or you are yet to be saved. But if you have been saved, then that decision, that relationship is a permanent relationship between you and God. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are saved. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:5, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that last time. If there has been a time in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that decision was sealed and you are kept today, not because you're such a good Boy Scout, not because you're the best mom in the world, though I'm sure you are. You are kept saved, not by your power, but by the power of God. Amen. How many would admit today, I can't keep myself saved. I'm not able to do that. But we're kept by the power of Almighty God. The permanence of it. Notice secondly, the price of it. The price of Timothy's salvation, if you would. Now notice this, please, in the scripture, verse number 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. Now notice this phrase. Not according to our works. Would you say that phrase, please? Not according. All right, now listen very carefully. Someone says, I believe I'm saved, all right? Upon what do you base that belief? Well, I was baptized in the Baptist church. Well, I went through catechism. Well, I give money to the church. But the Bible says very clearly in verse 9, not according to our works. Now, getting saved is not about what I do. It's about what Jesus did. Timothy's salvation was not because he was a good little boy. He was saved because he put his faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved. Grace is undeserved favor. For by grace are you saved through faith. That is faith in Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, he says. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, my friend, we are not saved by our works. We are saved by the grace of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful today. Salvation is a free gift. I mean, I'm thankful today that the poorest of the poor can believe on Jesus Christ and be saved. They don't have to buy it. They don't have to earn it. I'm thankful that the thief on the cross, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, could be saved at that very moment. He could not come down off that cross and go to Sunday school or be baptized, but he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus said, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." And so we see in the Word of God the permanence of being saved and the price that was paid in order that we might be saved. And notice finally, the purpose of our salvation. Why does God save us? Well, God is love, yes. God is not willing that anybody should perish, correct? God does not want anybody to go to hell, right again. But why else did God save us besides keeping us from hell and besides sending us to heaven someday? Why did God save you and why did God save Timothy? Two very important purposes. First, that we might be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Salvation takes place in a moment's time, but Christ's likeness is a process of growth. Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be," what does it say? "Conformed to the image of His Son." Would you say that with me? Conformed to the image of His Son. One more time. All right. Why was Timothy head and shoulders spiritually a standout kind of a guy? Because he had been conforming to the image of Christ. Why are we here this morning, and why do we gather and read the Word of God, and why do we pray? Why? Because the purpose of our existence is that we might become more like Him, and secondly, that we might live to His glory. This life is not about me. This life is not about my name. This life is about Him. It's about bringing glory to Him. Ephesians 1 and verse 5, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." My friend, predestination is not speaking about the fact that God determines some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. It's speaking about God's desire for us after our salvation. And God says, "My predetermined will for your life is that you would be to the praise of His glory." God says, "I want your family, I want your business, I want everything you do to glorify My Son, Jesus Christ." The permanence of our salvation is found in the power of God. The price of our salvation is the shed blood that Jesus spilled. But you see, my friend, the purpose of our being saved is that we might bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, hope is alive, and hope is alive for your family. And hope can be found today in the Word of God, of course. But there's hope from a local church today, and there's hope in a loving family today. And there's always hope in the Lord Jesus Christ for everyone who will believe. For God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You this morning for Timothy. We thank You for the fact that You sent a missionary to his village and he was saved. We thank You for a mother and a grandmother who really raised Timothy with an unfeigned faith. And now, Lord, we pray this morning that You would help each and every one of us to learn from this message.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Now, if you've missed any part of this program, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to dailyintheword.org. where you can listen online anytime. You can also download the Daily in the Word podcast to your device and listen on the go. If you have questions about how to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you more about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Simply call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chappell preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, you can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11, or Sunday evenings at 5 Pacific Standard Time. Pastor Chappell, along with the Lancaster Baptist Church Choir, Orchestra, and Media Team, will present Glorious Day, a captivating narrative about the life and death of Jesus, on Saturday, April 7th at 6 p.m. and Sunday morning, April 8th at 8:30 or 11 o'clock. We invite you to be our guest and experience Easter like never before. You can find out more about this event when you visit lancasterbaptist.org. On Easter Sunday, April the 8th, we invite you to celebrate the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus at Lancaster Baptist Church. Pastor Chapel will share a message of hope and encouragement you won't want to miss. Join us for Easter at Lancaster Baptist and experience the victory, hope, and new life you can have in Jesus. You are also invited to our Good Friday service on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church on Friday evening, April 6th at 7 o'clock.
This broadcast is a listener-supported program that exists because of prayers and donations from people just like you. If you make a donation to Daily in the Word, Pastor Chapel would like to send you a copy of his newest book, Paid in Full, as a thank you for your support of our ministry. Thank you for your help in spreading the good news throughout the world.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.